My wife in the nursery. Yeah. All right, you saw? You saw on Tuesday? Was it Tuesday? The demonstration that God is in control? He knows what he's doing. So we just have to trust him. Trust him. Not everything is what we wished it were. Do you have the scripture verses, Xiaoying, the new ones? The only reason I print them out is because there's so many different versions of the Bible. I want what we're doing here in the Bible study to come from just one. And so it gives everybody the same indication. We're talking about the tribulation period, yes. All right, we're going to have a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to be here in a special way. I'm so glad you're all here. Oh, Lou! And his lovely wife. Great. Praise the Lord. And Amanda's here. Oh, good, 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 good. And I didn't call you Ashley.
Yes.
I didn't call you Ashley.
Finally, don't
talk
about it.
Thank you.
Call me Paul for 3 months.
Bye.
Amen. Amen. All right. Let's open with a word of prayer. Debbie, will you open our Bible study in a word of prayer, please?
Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we have to spend in your house to learn more about you.
Thank you, Lord.
You and everything you provide, Lord. Open it up to our hearts and minds and our spirits, Lord. And we just love you for being here. We thank you, Lord, for everything you do. Thank you. We just praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Tribulation period, what mistakes are made in the interpretation of the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel when it is in regard to the tribulation period has to do with the purpose. Why in the world does God, remember, God's omnipotent and God is omniscient. He knows everything. So many times our struggles in serving the Lord come from the fact that couldn't you have done it another way? Right? Wasn't there a better way, Lord? Or is this the best way? And you have to rely on God's wisdom. And so when we deal with the tribulation period, we're not going to understand and interpret correctly the scripture unless we understand why in the world did the Lord decree 7 years of tribulation? What was the purpose, or what is the purpose in the Word of God?
Give the Jews a chance.
Remember, God's dealing with humankind revolves around, at the center, the people of Israel, the Jews. We are included because they rejected the Messiah. I don't know what God would have done had they accepted the Messiah. I don't know what would have happened, and that's pure speculation.
It wasn't in the plan.
Yeah, but they rejected the Messiah. Let's see. I don't think my good friend Jack has this yet. Did you bring yours?
No.
You had that, so I'll give you another one.
No, I'll just share his. Yeah.
Okay. So, yes. Someone say something else?
I said thank you.
Oh, God bless you. Great to have you here. You're going to be operated on in a few days, right?
Next Thursday.
Well, we'll have a word of prayer before you go tonight. Believe God to guide the surgeons. Cut, cut, snip, snip.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what, Jack. I'm gonna pray for you, but But for sure, Jack, I'm not going to feel a thing.
I'm sure you won't.
So, I can't rightfully interpret what happens in the book of Revelation and in the tribulation period unless I understand what is the purpose. The Bible is a book of the Jews. The Bible is not a book of the Gentiles. The Bible is a book of the Jews. Man's sin in Genesis, right? Adam and Eve sinned and were kicked out of the garden, and God began what I've always called all through my ministry the Great Restoration Plan. How? God asks a question. How in the world do I get man back to the Garden of Eden? How do I return mankind to paradise? Now, when you read what heaven's going to be like, you have to say, whoa, cool, wonderful, great. Let's go now, right? So, in the interim, he decides that he must have a vehicle by which he can bring about redemption. And there's a couple fundamental principles that carry through this. The first one is, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So for whatever reason, God determined when he sacrificed animals to make skins for Adam and Eve, that there would be, to cover them, to cover their nakedness, that there would be shedding of blood. And all through the Old Testament, one of the interesting studies is how redemption happened under the law. And what they could bring, but there was always sacrifices. Remember, the Lord determined under Moses what the implements of worship would be. And the center of it would be the tabernacle. And the center of the tabernacle would be the Ark of the Covenant inside the Holies of Holies. But in the outer court would be the principal vehicle for redemption, and that was the altar of sacrifice. And all through the Old Testament, that principle remains. So now God says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Therefore, there must be something perfect to shed the blood of in order for there to be a complete and perfected salvation. Remember, what kind of lamb did you have to bring to the sacrifice?
Spotless.
Huh?
Spotless.
Spotless, without blemish. You could bring a calf, but it had to be without blemish. You could bring a turtle dove. It had to be without blemish. You could bring other animals, but they had a goat, but they had to be without blemish. So God says, I've got to have a vehicle through which I can bring about that perfected one that will bring about redemption. And of course, we know before the beginning of time that was planned in Jesus Christ, right? Okay? But the means by which Jesus would come would be Israel and the Jews. And that's what the Bible is all about. So the Bible starts with God's chosen people in the Garden of Eden. They break the covenant. He chooses a people under Abraham, from the loins of Abraham, to be his people. And he ends in the end, in the book of Revelation, with his people. Now, you don't have to be blind to understand that today, the Jews don't serve Jesus as Messiah on the whole. Got many. You, if you followed the election results, they would say this is a Jewish something or other elected to Congress. and they would identify them. They've been a special people from the beginning. Likewise, they've been the target of the enemy from the beginning, right? And so in the book of Revelation, the purpose is, and the purpose has to be, and it has to be surrounded by Israel. At the center of it all is Israel. And so he comes and he says, I've got to get Israel to the place where they will accept me as Messiah. So the purpose is the purification of Israel. Let's get her back to where she was in her best moment in the Old Testament. Now, have you ever graphed? Have you ever made a graph? How many remember graphs in mathematics in school, right? Make a graph. A graph paper? How many remember graph paper, right? Make a graph of Israel's walk with God in the Old Testament. What's it going to look like? The Himalayas. Yeah. That's what it's going to look like, right? Right? Up and down, up and down. They exist. The Jews exist to fulfill God's purpose on earth. That's what their existence was. In the seed of Abraham, all nations would be blessed. For me, one of the great results from Tuesday is that we get someone in the White House that will surround himself with advisors and everything, where the goal will be the ultimate protection of Israel. Now, I hate to share with President Trump the fact that Israel doesn't need the U.S.'s protection, because God said she'll never, ever be defeated. After 1948, when she becomes a nation again, which God did prophesy would happen, she would never, ever, ever be defeated again. In fact, he said, I'm going to give you the gates of your enemies. And I'm so glad that the Arabs can't read Hebrew. I'm so glad. Because if someone got an idea, those imams are supposed to be people of wisdom, right? They're supposed to be studied people. I'm glad they haven't studied that fact, or they wouldn't waste their resources and their money attacking Israel, because they cannot win. I can say it without a doubt. If I were a betting person, I could get rich in a hurry. I could get rich in a hurry. I could bet Schumer and Pelosi and all those ignorant people. I could bet them millions of dollars that Israel will never, ever be defeated. And I'd win the bet. Of course, I might die before it all came about, but I'd win the bet. Now, we know that the Jewish nation tested God's patience. But we also know there's not one scripture in the Bible that says God will reject them. God will punish them. God will purify them, but God will not reject them. One of the last phrases of the promise that God gave Abraham and gave to Israel, it was fulfilled in 1948. She was reestablished. And God said, I'm going to bring the scattered Jews from the four winds of the earth back to Israel. And I'm going to plant them again in my land. See, what the Palestinians don't understand, this is not, Israel is not the Jewish land. The Israel is God's land. Well, we know the whole earth is the Lord's, right? The whole earth is the Lord's. Did you see today, or was it today? Yeah, today. The environmentalists are bemoaning the fact that maybe climate change is going to take a step backwards now. Oh, man. I'll tell you what. It is comical to watch the way people think they know about this earth. All you got to do is go here. And you got it all right here. And you can understand it right there. So his first purpose, Ezekiel. Let me, where is it? I got to find it so I can tell you. Because Ezekiel... Well, let's back up a little bit first. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. That's at the bottom of page 5 and the top of page 6. Okay, Joel, please. Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and then also read Genesis 15, 5. Yeah, thank you.
Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be.
Whom are Abraham's offspring?
Israel.
And?
Esau.
And Ishmael.
Ishmael.
See? He had two sons. And the bloodline comes from the man. Doesn't come from the woman. So he has two bloodlines. He's got Ishmael and he's got Jacob. He's got Isaac. Ishmael and Isaac. You know, anytime you try to do God's plan, you mess up royally. There can be no minimization of the mess that Sarah and Abraham made when he gave in to her suggestion that he create an offspring with Hagar. What a mess. How many agree it's a mess? And it's a mess that has affected not just Israel, because it affected us on September the 11th. Right? It's affected mankind down through the ages. Long before that. But in our lifetime, we get to see all this damage that's done, because Abraham and Sarah, that all happened after God told Sarah she was going to have a baby. How do I know she didn't believe him? Because she took matters into her own hand. And there's not very many red-blooded men that would say, if their wife said, no, you can create an offspring with my maid, that wouldn't say, yeah, I'll do it. Because that's the way we are. We're dogs. And so the mess is made, but God said, I am going to make your offspring numerous. And they are numerous. When you add up the Arabs and the Jews, a lot of people. Okay? And he says, so the first part of the tribulation period, Ezekiel 20 verses 37 through 38, Debbie.
I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge out the rebels from among you, and those who transgress against me. I will bring them out of the land where they sojourn, but they shall not enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord.
Yep. Deuteronomy chapter 4, Xiao Yang, verses 30 through 31.
When you are in tribulation, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. For the Lord your God is merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them.
Isn't that an interesting verse? You didn't know that Moses in the book of Revelation, in the book of Deuteronomy, was going to talk about the book of Revelation, did you? Mm-hmm. But what's he say? When you are in tribulation, and all these things come upon you when?
Latter days.
Amen? You will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. Read the book of Revelation. You'll find that in the end, they return wholeheartedly to God. Okay? So, Paul leaves no ambiguity about this. Romans 11, 26 and 27, Leah.
And in this way all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob, And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins.
Amen. Well, we know that hasn't happened yet. Right? The deliverer has come. That's Jesus Christ. But he hasn't banished ungodliness from Jacob. Right? They're still ungodly. I will take away their sins. Now, what is the primary part of the taking away of sins? Repentance and confession. Okay? With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I repent. That's a heart thing. That happens up here in the brain. I confess. That happens in my mouth. It changes the way I live. That hasn't happened yet in Israel, so this has not yet been fulfilled. Okay? Now, along with the punishment of Israel, or the purification of Israel, or the judgment of Israel during the tribulation period, will come also God's judgment on sinners who have rejected Jesus as Messiah. Okay? God's wrath is going to be poured out on those who oppose him. First on the Jews, and then on the Gentiles. Romans 1:18, Jenny.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth.
Okay, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what?
Ungodliness.
All ungodliness. Not against righteousness, which is the opposite, right? And unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Boy, have we seen that. Right? I mean, we've lived that. The theologian N.T. Wright wrote this, and I had to put it in your notes so that you would have it. The biblical doctrine of God's wrath is rooted in the doctrine of God as the good, wise, and loving creator who hates, yes, hates, and hates implacably anything that spoils, defaces, distorts, or damages his beautiful creation. And in particular, anything that does that to his image-bearing creatures. That is the problem with abortion. Because you're touching God's creatures. And God says, you mess with me, and I will defend the innocent because they can't defend themselves. And I was thinking about that the other day when I saw that Proposition 1 passed here in New York. And Matt, there's a chill went right down my spine. I know it was a Holy Ghost chill. And fear of God and the fear of judgment entered into my heart. And I said to myself, God have mercy on those that wrote that proposition and those that voted for it. Because any time you start to mess with God and mess with his design, you're touching him himself. And does he know how to defend himself? Amen. Oh, yes, he knows how to defend himself. If God does not hate racial prejudice, he is neither good nor loving. If God is not wrathful at child abuse, abortion, he is neither good nor loving. If God is not utterly determined to root out from his creation in an act of proper wrath and judgment the arrogance that allows people to exploit, bomb, bully, and enslave one another, he is neither loving nor good nor wise. You got to understand when you begin to understand our history here in the United States. If my precious brothers, African Americans, could understand our history, because it was not a Republican that stood in the well of the Senate and filibustered so that no vote could be taken on the Equal Rights Amendment. It was a Democrat, and if he had prevailed, the African Americans could not have voted on Tuesday. Two of them joined up to filibuster. Robert Byrd, Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan and Al Gore's father. Most of you probably didn't know that. And they held the Senate captive so that a vote could not be taken on the Equal Rights Amendment. Why? Huh?
Insurrectionists.
Yeah, why any black American would ever vote for any Democrat ever again in the history of the United States, I'll never understand it. Because they'd have no right to vote if it wasn't for the Republicans. They'd have no right to even exist as free men if it wasn't for the Republicans and Abraham Lincoln. So it's amazing. It's amazing. The deceitfulness of the enemy. Keep in mind everything you read and everything you see nowadays. Keep in mind how accelerated this is going to become as the day of the Lord approaches. Yes?
America has a history what they did to the Native Americans.
Yes!
You know, that hasn't really been corrected yet.
No, well, it has in some areas. In some areas, they are extremely wealthy. Because I know in Maine, the federal government was forced to indemnify the tribes, and they have a gorgeous hockey arena. They have casinos. I buy gas when I go west. I buy gas on the reservations. I find out where they are because they don't pay the federal gas tax. And yes, not everything has been done the way it should. It should. It's amazing. It is one of the saddest stories you'll ever read in your life. European white people were very, very mean people because they were godless. They were godless. And you don't single out just English European or Spanish European or Portuguese European or Italian European. They all. Now remember, they came from nomadic tribes that killed one another. That's what formed Europe when you studied ancient world history. And so they've been that type of people to beat up and enslave one another from the get-go. And they did not bring the slaves over here. They did bring in their ships, but they bought the slaves from African tribes that vanquished one another and enslaved one another and then sold them to make money. Mankind has always been nasty and corrupt. Bad. And God says, I've had it up to here. There's coming a day when I'm going to punish the sinners for their sin. And that's what he's going to do. Nahum 1:2-3. Caroline, please.
The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. His way is in whirlwind and storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet.
Aren't you glad you're not included there? Aren't you glad? I shout hallelujah. Eh? The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. We have preached here in America so long that God's a God of grace that nobody understands. He's an avenging and jealous God. He's wrathful, Nahum said. He's wrathful. He gets angry. He gets angry, righteous indignation against sin and against wrong. Takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath. I love that. Keeps wrath for his enemies. That's why I'm not going to be here during the tribulation period. Because I can't be a victim of the wrath of God. It's impossible. Because I'm not his enemy. I'm his child. I'm his child. He is a righteous father. Glory to God. He does not punish his children alike. I never thought my father was terribly just. Because when he caught Paul and I fighting, he whipped us both the same. And I never started a fight, ever. So why should I get punished for something I didn't do? No, it takes two to fight, he said. And then he would quote scripture. Don't you hate it when they're whaling you with a belt and quoting scripture at the same time? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they. Blessed are the peacemakers. Whoop! Ouch! Blessed are the peacemakers. Ouch! Remember that next time. I don't know if that was inscribed on the belt or not. Blessed are the peacemakers. But we got it. I'll tell you what. So his wrath is reserved for whom? For his enemies. I love it. For his enemies. Let me get the next page here so I know where I'm going. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Okay. And then the other purpose is to preach the gospel. He's going to purify Israel, he's going to punish the sinners, and he's going to preach the gospel. Now, it's interesting to note that the only time the whole then-known world was evangelized was in the early church after Pentecost, and the only time it will be evangelized again is during the tribulation period when the Jews take the gospel to the four corners of the earth. 144,000. The Jews did it in the book of Acts. The Jews will do it in the book of Revelation. Now, we are part of it, but I don't know why. If Peter and I were discussing this in another manner when he came in tonight. I can't understand why things don't work out the way they should with us. Right, Peter? Because we have all the resources. We have all the power. We have the Holy Ghost. We have radio. We have television. We don't get on a boat and takes us 2 weeks to go across the Atlantic. We get in a plane and cross it in 5 and 6 hours. Or maybe more. Well, when they get the supersonic planes back up and running, what was it, an hour and 45 minutes that the Concorde would cross the ocean? So, they're going to preach the gospel. Then the end will come. This gospel must be preached, and then the end will come. Why is that necessary?
Everybody has to have the opportunity
for salvation. Yes, exactly right. Exactly right. God says it's important that everybody has a chance. Now, he tells us in the book of Romans, in the first 3 chapters, that we are without excuse because nature preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yep. Missionaries have found that out. There was a bunch of missionaries that came upon a tribe in Africa. Was it Africa or the Philippines? Or Indonesia? One of the three places? Aren't you glad? I can reduce the entire world to just 3 places. Indonesia, Philippines, or Africa. But they came upon a tribe that had never seen a white man. All the other tribes in the area, they were naked indigenous people. But this tribe was clothed. And it seemed strange to them.
Huh?
Yeah, it could have been New Guinea. Yeah, they were clothed, and they weren't head hunting, and the others were head hunting, and so they decided to find out what happened. Well, they got an idea from nature and from about the great spirit in the sky. I don't care what you call them, and they began to serve God, and they changed. They quit having multiple wives. They quit eating each other. They started putting on clothes. And they started to preach the gospel to them. They said, yeah, yeah, amen, amen, amen. We know that. So that man is without excuse. The heavens preach the glory of God. Amen? We were at Niagara Falls not too long ago when Eduardo Sanchez, who preached here, the treasurer of Colombia, who preached here, we took him to Niagara Falls, and there was a rainbow. Oh. It was beautiful. Yeah. It was beautiful. Beautiful. And it reminds you, Billy Graham wrote this, we are like people under sentence of death, waiting for the date to be set. We sense that something is about to happen. Oh, don't we ever. We know that things cannot go on as they are. He wrote this a long time ago, over 20 years ago. History has reached an impasse. We are now on a collision course. Something is about to give. I don't care who gets elected to the White House or who controls the Senate or the House of Representatives. I only care that God's in control. Yes. Something is about to, I'm getting excited. Mm-hmm. Jesus is coming. Could it be that he gives us a respite of maybe 4 years for more people to repent? Yes. Remember, when he tarries, it's not for you or me, he's tarrying for those that don't yet know him, so that they'll come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
So that the church can repent.
Yep. And so that the ungodly can repent. So salvation is going to happen during the tribulation period. Aren't you glad? Well, wouldn't that be a just God? In fact, it would be very unjust of God if salvation didn't happen during the tribulation period. Amen? Because all through history, he has pronounced judgment and then given a way of escape. This is what got Jonah all tied up in a knot. Because Jonah understood his incredible oratory skills. He understood that he was a powerful prophet. And he knew that if he went to Nineveh, who incidentally was enslaving Israel at that time, he knew if he went to the city, the capital of the people that were enslaving Israel, he knew if he went there and preached, they were going to get saved, and then God wasn't going to judge them. So he decided to go in the opposite direction. How'd that work out for him? He went and preached anyway after he got... You know, he was the first submariner. Right? He was the first submariner. It's interesting to note. I know someone's going to come up someday with an idea that you cannot live in the belly of a whale shark, because that's what it was. It was a whale shark. Because that's the only fish big enough to swallow a man whole and not mangle him on the way down. Because a great white shark would pull him apart. That's the other big one, right? An orca would pull them apart. But an orca is not a fish. An orca is a mammal. So it can't be an orca. So the only fish that rides around in the ocean with his mouth wide open, because that's what he does, and they filter plankton and microscopic organisms through their digestive tract and gills and filter them out, and it goes into their stomach, and that's what they do all day long. And they came upon a big, no longer microscopic organism. It was Jonah. And in he went. 3 days and three nights he was there. And when he came out to preach. He was 17. He was way too young to die. Taha Erdem knew he was at the end of his short life. He had been sleeping when the earthquake struck. Anybody here been through an earthquake? Yeah. How big?
7.2.
In California?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ours was 7.6 in San Jose, Costa Rica. Anybody else been through one? They're fun. You didn't go through one before you came to the U.S.? Oh, man. Because the Philippines loves earthquakes.
That one here.
Yeah, but that wasn't an earthquake. That was a tremor. I know they got all hyper, but that wasn't an earthquake. That was a tremor. When you go through 7.6, you watch your things that are hanging on the wall come off the wall and slap back against it. Oh, yeah, because the earthquake in Costa Rica went like this. There's two kinds. They go like this or they go like this. What did the one in California do? Was it a rolling earthquake?
It was a rolling earthquake.
Rolling earthquake.
San Andreas Fault.
Yeah, the rolling earthquakes are different. But that one that goes like this, they are. Boy, you should have heard the people repenting.
Yeah.
I learned more about the saints because they were out in the streets, weren't they, Leah, calling on the name of the Lord. He was violently shaken out of bed and buried by the debris of a four-story apartment building where he lived with his family. The earth kept shaking. That's the problem with an earthquake. When it gets done, you have aftershocks. And some of the aftershocks can be pretty powerful. The one in Costa Rica, there were numerous aftershocks that were better than 5 on the Richter scale. And the youth watched the concrete slab of the roof edging closer and closer to where he was lying, threatening to crush him to death. Now, he had the presence of mind to pull out his cell phone and record a video for his family and friends. He moved the camera to his bruised face and he hit the record button and said, "I think this is the last video I will ever shoot for you. I am dead if I am not wrong. There is close to 1,000 pounds on the top of my feet. My feet are gone. I could have hurt my head when I was getting it out of there. We are still shaking." Then he said this, "Death, my friends, comes at a time when one is least expecting it." Isn't that right?
Amen.
Does not make an appointment. Does not call you up and tell you it's on its way. "There are many things that I regret. May God forgive me of all my sins." So he got saved. A message for the entire human race right now. And even more so for New York State after Proposition 1. Death comes when we least expect it. Jesus is coming when we least expect him. I thought when I saw that Trump had won, I said to myself, "God have mercy on the church." Because we could enter into 4 years of utter prosperity and a great time like it was in his first 3 years before COVID hit. And the church will be lulled to sleep. Hello? Lulled to sleep. I said, "Lord, don't let that happen." Okay? He's coming as a thief in the night. Taha Erdem did not know when that house was going to start shaking. But thank God it wasn't too late for him, because 2 hours after the earthquake, they pulled him from the rubble alive. And they also pulled all 10 members of his family from the rubble alive. That's what's going to happen during the tribulation period. You talk about rubble, we're going to get into it and what's going to happen in the first 3.5 years and the last 3.5 years. We talked a little bit about it a little while ago. Over 1/2 of the world's population will be annihilated. I'd like to get the email of who started Microsoft? What's his name? Bill Gates. Because he thinks we're overpopulated. Send him an email. "Just hang on, Bill. 7 years are coming. And during that 7 years, 1/2 of the world's population is going to be annihilated. That's 4 billion people gone. So there won't be any more overpopulation, Bill. You can rejoice."
Will the rapture precede that?
Yes.
So there'll be more than that?
Yes. But that at least. A minimum of 4 million less.
Right.
A minimum of 4 million less. Probably more like 5 million. If 1 million go in the rapture, who knows? I don't know.
A billion.
So God's grace always prevails. Always prevails. Amen? So he's going to pick out 144,000. Now let me help you tonight. They're not going to be Mormons. Okay? They're going to be 12,000 from every tribe in Israel. Someone said to me, "How in the world can God do that when 10 of the tribes are lost?" I said, "What? 10 of the tribes are lost. What?" He got upset with me. "Are you making fun of me?" I said, "Well, To whom are they lost? Well, we don't know where they are. Well, God knows everything. Oh, he said. So God says there will be 12,000 from every tribe. Now, it's interesting, I believe, that the Holy Ghost inspired John to write it in the way he did so that we could not misinterpret it and think it was something other than what it is. 12,000 from each of the tribes. And they're going to be sealed. Why are they going to be sealed? Anybody know? Think. It's logical.
So they can't be touched.
Yes. So they can't be touched by the Antichrist. What do you think? Remember, the Antichrist is the devil incarnate. And God's going to put a seal on them. Do you think that the devil's not going to be aware that they have the seal of God? He's aware that the two witnesses are untouchable. Why won't he be aware that the 144,000 are untouchable? They're going to be sealed. In any case, he won't be able to do anything against them. And they're going to be able to preach the gospel, no problems at all. And they're going to preach the gospel, 12,000 from every tribe. Revelation chapter 7, where is it? Verses 9 and then verses 13 through 14.
2 to 4.
Yeah, 2 through 4. Yeah, I jumped over one. I'm sorry.
James 4:4.
Huh?
We didn't read James 4:4.
Oh, I put that in the bulletin on Sunday. That was in the bulletin on Sunday. Okay? You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Don't stand before God and say, I didn't know I was your enemy. Remember that little scripture in the Bible where Jesus tells the story? And he says, many will come in that day. In your name we cast out devils. We healed the sick. We raised the dead. And he's going to look at them and say, who are you? I don't know you. Oh, why don't you know us? But because I was homeless, you didn't give me a place to stay. I was hungry, you did not feed me. I was thirsty, you did not give me food. I was naked and you did not clothe me. When did we see you naked and homeless and thirsty and hungry? Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Mm-hmm. Kind of sobering, isn't it? Yeah. I'll tell you, the surprises at the judgment are going to be mind-blowing. Even some of us who have preached the gospel our entire life are going to be blown away. But this verse is a key, because this verse is where we separate ourselves. Peter and I were discussing it when he came in. Why don't we have what they had in the book of Acts? Two reasons, I think. This is my humble opinion. Two reasons. In the book of Acts, they had persecution. They had persecution from two fronts. Right? What were the two fronts?
Romans.
Huh? The Romans? Who said that?
I did.
The Romans and who else?
The Jews.
The Jews. So they got it from both sides. When you could die for your testimony, it's going to affect the way you live. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons they separated themselves from the world. They understood what James was writing. They separate this James that's writing this is the brother of Jesus. He knew that was the first pastor of the church in Jerusalem. First Pentecostal Church of Jerusalem was the name of it. Not the First Assembly of God, no, First Pentecostal Church. And he writes this. And he's writing this to the church. He's writing this to the Jews. You're an adulterous generation. If you cozy up to the world, you're going to make yourself. I like the way he put that, right? You make yourself an enemy of God. Help us, Lord. Yes.
Is adultery used more than just being cheated on yourself?
Yes.
In different words,
yeah.
Cheating on God.
It's cheating on God. Remember, we are the body of Christ, and we are what else?
The bride.
The bride of Christ. I preached on it Sunday. We're the bride of Christ. Okay? That means, has the wedding taken place yet?
No, but I got my dress picked out.
You do? No, I tell you, you don't have to pick it out. He said, to those who overcome, I will give them a white robe and a new name. Amen. So, yes, honey. When you go into the Old Testament, you'll find that this was a major problem God had with Israel. Hence the book of Hosea.
Idolatry is different. That's like idolizing
others. Yeah, idolatry is putting something in the place of God.
Right, but you see adulterous so many times
in the Bible. All through the book of the Bible. Yeah. It's when we change God for somebody else. Because that's what adultery is, right? Yeah, I pick another woman instead of Leah. That's adultery. I pick another God with a small g instead of the big God. Right? And you go through the Old Testament, and God says that about Israel all the time. He chastises them for the two trees, adultery and idolatry. All both of them they get chastised for. They make gods in place of God, and they also prostitute themselves with other things that are not godly. He calls them prostitutes. That's what he calls them. Enemy of God. So it's interesting. Well, good. That's a good place to stop. Why don't we stop there with 144,000? No, let's read Revelation chapter 7. Read Revelation chapter 7, verses 2 through 4. And whose turn is it? Peter!
Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of the seal, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel.
On their forehead. So I think it will be able to be seen. Don't you?
Yeah. Like Cain.
Yeah. Well, we don't know what the Cain was, but you think they put... Then where are his offspring? They should still have it.
Well, it says Cain. It doesn't say tribe.
Oh, yeah. But he says they'll kill me. So the Lord, you know, marked him. But it would seem that if they would kill Cain, they would kill his sons as well. I don't know. It just seems that way. Because the devil can't get at God, so he tries to get at me. And if he can't get at me, he tries to get at you. Right? Revelation 7, 9, and 13 through 14. Amanda.
After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Interesting. Amen? See, that's why, Jenny, you don't need a dress, because you're going to get one here. No, this is for those that come out of the great tribulation. He says they're coming out of great tribulation. And this is in the seventh chapter. And I got a lot of friends that think that the rapture is going to take place somewhere around the 11th or the 12th chapter. So I don't know how these are, because the angel says these have come out of great tribulation. They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So people are going to get saved during the tribulation period. Aren't you happy? It's just not going to be me. You know, it has been said, if you can't serve God now, how in the world are you going to serve Him then? Right? Because now it's real easy. Yes, dear.
I was listening to my headset, and you're talking about the election and saying about Daniel when he was dealing with Belshazzar,
mm-hmm.
and how in Daniel 5, verse 21, in the end of it, it says, until you acknowledge that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and sets over them anyone wishes.
Yeah.
So people say, well, it's this vote or that vote. No, it's God who sets the men.
Yeah, God. That's what becomes a bit of an interesting analysis. We do know that the Word of God says that He sets up kings and tears down kings. We do know that in the hand of the king, in the hand of God is the heart of the king, and He turns him in any direction He wants. That's in the Bible too. And so when you know that, you say, why Biden then? God must have gone on vacation.
No, but I think things have to happen.
Yeah.
Like you said,
Then why not, if we want the Lord to come back, why not Kamala? See, I call her Kamala. And anybody who knows Spanish knows what I'm saying. Because mala is bad. M-A-L-A, that's bad. That's the word bad in Spanish, mala. So I call her Kamala.
show the difference.
Why then wouldn't she be elected? Because if she gets elected and puts together her principles that are anti-church, anti-God, and anti-anything that's godly, then it would seem that would hasten the coming of the Lord, would it not?
We're making America the center of the world.
Correct. That's what I wanted you to say.
We have to come to a point where people are getting saved.
Yeah, but what Peter said is more important than anything else. We're making the U.S. the center of the world, and it's not. Israel is. Okay? We're in the last days. And the last days, God centers His attention on Israel.
And the peace treaty can't come with Kamala. It could.
But remember, the peace treaty is not going to come till the Antichrist sets up his kingdom.
After the rapture.
See? And I'm not going to be here for that. Maybe some will, but I'm not. I'm getting out of here. I'm grabbing the first plane. I'm already standing in line. How many already standing in line? Amen. 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 Okay. Questions? Any questions?
I want to know why, if the bloodline goes through the male, why did Abraham have two different bloodlines?
He didn't.
Well, then why did his children have two different bloodlines?
They don't. They don't.
He said it comes through the father.
No, they don't. The Arabs are as much children of Abraham as the Jews are. Hmm. That's the problem.
Didn't it create two different?
Yeah, and look at what he said about Ishmael. Read back the prophecy for Ishmael. He was going to make of him a great nation too.
Right.
And they were going to be numbered. So there are two offsprings of Abraham. The Arabs and the Jews. Only one is chosen. Only one is of the covenant. Keep that in mind. Only one is of the covenant.
But Abraham must have had both of those bloodlines in him.
What do you mean, both of those bloodlines? No, Abraham was Abraham. He was one man. But he created two nations.
Okay.
He created two peoples. What would we call them? Two races.
One was right. Godly and one wasn't.
So how could they come through Abraham if he didn't have both of those races in him?
No.
Using things?
No, yeah. You think that because he had two boys, he's got to have two. No.
No,
No, I don't care if they're boys or girls or whatever, yeah. But they're two different cultures, right? Two different nations.
Well, they developed the culture. That's what not that didn't exist back then. They developed the culture. Mohammed came along. As deceitful as he was, the son of the devil is what he was and what he is. Because he was a pedophile, he was an adulterer, he was an abuser, he was a whoremonger, he was just a bad dude.
Isaac and Ishmael, right?
Isaac and Ishmael are the two.
Right.
Those are the two
sons. Decided to go against God and leave.
They went their own way. And so did Israel at times, but God kept bringing them back. Why? Because they are the people of the covenant.
One was born of the promise, one was born of the flesh.
Yes, exactly right. One was born of man's design, and the other was born of God's design.
Amen.
There was nothing miraculous. There was nothing miraculous about Ishmael's birth. Nothing. Hagar was still menstruating. She was still ovulating. She could still have babies. And Abraham was still virile. And so he could still create babies. So there was nothing miraculous about Ishmael. Isaac? Yeah, very miraculous. She was 90 years old when she got pregnant. Now, Abraham might have been able to still father a child at 100. That's possible for a man. But there's no way a woman can have a baby at 90 years of age.
Right.
It's not going to happen. What's that?
Nothing.
No, it was something.
Proud of Abraham being a, you know.
Yeah, he was. It was a he.
Impossible. With me on it.
Yeah. So one becomes, I like the way Peter put it, one becomes the child of the promise, and the other is the child of the flesh.
Amen.
The other one is designed by man. It's man's attempt to do God's work. Watch out. That will preach. Watch out when you try to do God's work your way.
Yeah.
The outcome is never positive. Never positive. And then Isaac comes and get a load of this. Ishmael can never stand up and say that I was miraculous too. But Isaac can. Isaac can. Because there's no way it would have happened unless God said so. He was 37 years old when his mother died. Isaac was 37 years old when his mother died. Because she lived to 127. And she was 90 when he was born. That's pretty good math, isn't it?
That's excellent math.
Huh?
Excellent math.
Excellent, yes.
You have to do it in your head.
And then Abraham could not deny. Sarah, nor Abraham, nor anybody that read that story could ever deny that Isaac was not a product of God and a miracle. Just like they couldn't deny that Jesus was not a product of God and a miracle. Because there's no way a virgin can have a baby. It's no more miraculous for Mary to conceive than it was for Sarah to conceive. It was both impossible for both of them. One without a man and one with a man. But nonetheless, it was not possible medically. See? Amen. Other questions? All right, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer.